because we control the whole manufacturing process, we have the ability to work with you and tailor each piece of furniture specifically to each individual's needs.
Welcome to House Guest with me, Carol Annett, interiors editor at Country and Townhouse magazine. Here I chat to those clever creatives behind the houses, hotels and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. Guests include interior designers and architects, as well as celebrities dipping their toe into the world of decorating. Today I'm sitting in the George Smith showroom on New King's Road with Amanda Barrett, who is Director of Sales and Marketing. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Thank you so much for inviting us here. Now, a lot of people might not know George Smith, but they will certainly have plonked their bottom on a George Smith sofa at some point.
Yeah.
George Smith create exceptional upholstered furniture, and they are a go-to for interior designers and those with an eye for the best. I have just ordered my George Smith sofa for my new house.
Wonderful, good choice.
And what I wanted to talk about was what to look for when you're buying furniture, because we're so trained to kind of buy with the eye, but particularly when it comes to furniture, it's all about trying it out.
Yeah.
So can you give us a little bit of a run through of what, if you were buying a sofa, what are the most important elements to look for?
Yeah, so the way that we like to think about it is really comfort above everything else, because I think if you're investing in a piece of furniture, you want it to really be comfortable for you and for your family or whichever situation you need it for. So we focus very much on the comfort, because you can then lift that comfort out and you can put it into the right aesthetic design. So with our clients, we like to make sure they come to the showroom and they sit in the furniture. So depth, that's something that's very important to make sure that you're supported. The rake, which is the angle of the back and the seat. Again, that's something that we talk a lot about. And then just the feels of the cushions, which is so personal, something that I find comfortable, you might not find comfortable. So it's important to, I would just go and sit on as many things as you possibly can. And that's how you're going to really learn what suits you.
Give us a little bit of a potted history of George Smith. So it's a British manufacturer.
Yeah. So we make all of our furniture here in the UK, just outside of Newcastle. And we do the whole process from buying in the planks of wood all the way through to making the frames and then doing all of the internals, upholstery, and then the external. So we have, you know, experts at every stage of the production process. The business has been around for 35 years. And yeah, we have a big factory. We have about 100 people working within the business across all different areas of the, you know, skills of craft of making an upholstered piece of furniture.
And why does a good sofa cost so much more than you can buy sofas at all levels, entry level to sort of super expensive. Where does the cost come from?
So for us, the cost really comes from firstly being a UK-based business. So we have all of the costs associated with supporting and employing, you know, all of the people that we do in a country like the UK. And then secondly, it's really about the quality of the materials that you put into the piece of furniture. So making sure that we're sourcing all of the best hardwoods, the best luxury fillings. Then it's about the work that goes into it. So for example, all of our pieces of furniture have 8-way hand-tied springs, and that takes a lot of work. You know, each spring has been tied in 8 different places, top and bottom, and then to the next one, and then to the next one. So it's just really the skill and the amount of time it takes to build such pieces of furniture, because we want to build them to last. You know, our furniture is here to last through generations, and they do. So it's important to put the care and attention into it to make sure that it's solid, that it's going to last, that it's stand the test of time. And again, just really going into the ethos of buying once and buying well. I think that's what we believe in. So that's also why, back to your point about comfort, it's so important to us. We really don't like selling furniture over the phone. You know, we want you to come in with your client, or if you're the end client, to come in yourself and make sure that it's the right piece for you. So we have, because we control the whole manufacturing process, we have the ability to work with you and tailor each piece of furniture specifically to each individual's needs.
And so all the bases have this 8 spring network.
Yeah.
And then what about fillers? What goes into the cushions?
So in the cushions, we have different options. I mean, your standard option is sort of a mix of feather and down. So 80% feather, 20% down. Then you can kind of go up and up in luxury. So we go 60-40 and then 100% down, which is the all-time luxury, because down feathers are the little feathers from the front. and they have very springy spines. And so they kind of bounce back. But if, you know, if that's something that doesn't suit your lifestyle or, you know, how you'd like to invest in your furniture, then we can work with the clients and do fully vegan pieces of furniture where we use other types of fillings such as coconut hair. And again, as time goes on, we've evolved the way that we manufacture and we start to absorb those new ways of manufacturing into our pieces. So, for example, our signature range, now all of the arms are made using coconut hair and we're looking at how we could kind of loop that into a full manufacturing process. So we can work with clients really depending on what their desires are to, you know, to suit it. And we'll investigate it. If it's not something we've done before, we'll look into it for you and we'll see if we can then, you know, create a piece of furniture that aligns with your lifestyle.
Now, what about plumping?
We love plumping.
Should your cushion need plumping?
It will need plumping. Well, again, I mean, it doesn't if you don't mind the look, but some people really like the plump look. It's a good workout. If you've got your feathering down cushions, it's good to get out a bit of aggression at the end of the day if you plump your cushions so that you can arrive in the morning and it looks fantastic. But again, if that's not something that suits you, you know, certainly for maybe a more senior generation, they don't have the strength to kind of be plumping their big cushions every night. Then we can provide other types of fills using a firmer inside, which then doesn't need so much plumping.
Yeah. And so when sometimes in hospitality or the cheaper end of the market, you get that real sort of bounce where you know you're sitting on a foam seat. So that's one, you know, you can tell when you sit down, if you sink into something, you're buying something of a better quality and is probably going to cost you a little bit more, but is going to be better made and is going to last longer.
Well, we do a lot of hospitality projects and actually we make furniture to the same quality, whether it's a hospitality project or whether it's an individual's residential project. So I think traditionally people have this idea that in hospitality, they're going to be sitting on a lesser quality product. I think the projects that we work on, those hotel owners or restaurant owners see value in actually investing in a particularly high-end quality product just because it's going to last longer. Yeah. The fills, we do, you know, use foam when it's required. What we do is we use foam, but then we sort of wrap it in a duvet of feather and down or down to give it that soft feel. It's actually more from a practical point of view because if you just had feather and down cushions in a very high traffic area, it just wouldn't be sustainable for that particular project because they would be seeing so many people come through the doors. So foam doesn't necessarily mean a lower quality. It can just be a different way to make the furniture depending on where it is.
And am I right in thinking you've just done all the new area in the Dorchester?
Yes, yeah, that was incredible. Yeah, so we worked with actually two design companies. So Pierre Vauchon and MBDS, who did different areas.
So that's Martin Brudnitsky.
Martin Brudnitsky, yeah, who did the Vespa bar, which is looking, I know, he's incredible. he's a very big client of ours. And it's always fantastic to work with him because the level of detail required for the design scheme really pushes us as well to kind of reach new levels of detailing and tailoring because there's always so many trims and different fabrics and braids and all sorts of things. So yeah, the Vespa bar, that's, I mean, we have to go because it's like the new James Bond bar. It looks incredible. And then also the whole entrance to the Dorchester, which was done. That's beautiful.
It always kind of warms my heart when you hear about hotels and clubs and stuff that really put value on buying well. You know, sometimes you kind of think, oh, they're, you know, going to stick any old thing in there.
Yeah, I think we see it more and more now, actually. And if you do invest in a, you know, lower standard of quality, it's just not going to last as long. So you're just throwing good money after bad. So there's no point. You might as well invest in something that's really going to last a long time. I mean, we offer a reupholstery service for all of George Smith furniture. And the only thing that we do 30 years later is we just lift off the fabric. Everything else, the internals are perfectly fine. The frame is absolutely guaranteed. The steel springs are perfect. The fillings are actually excellent. So that's a good investment. And also from a sustainability point of view, you know, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, when I came in upstairs, I also noticed your new outdoor furniture range, which actually, when you look at it, you wouldn't know it was outdoor furniture.
No, I know.
Because it looks like everything else.
I know.
So how on earth does that work?
Well, that's quite fun, actually. So we've been making outdoor furniture for 12 years now, and it's not something that we've sort of launched officially as we have done now. Essentially, it started when Soho House wanted us to do some outdoor furniture for them. And so we made two pieces of furniture and we put them outside into the elements and we left them for a year just really to test out the quality of the materials. And we found, you know, a winning formula that works for us by using Iroko wood, by using internals such as reticulated foam, which allow the water to run through, by changing the types of materials so that they're resistant to the elements. And yes, as you say, when we did the photo shoot, we're like, well, how are we going to really show people that you could have this indoor sofa outdoors and help them understand that, you know, why not have the same luxury outdoors as you have indoors? Because often you're in these incredible houses and then you go outside and there's just this kind of quite mean looking metal furniture, you know, that's a bit rusty. And it's like, well, hang on a minute, I was just in this incredible interior. So we're really hoping that our clients understand that you can have the same luxury outdoors.
And what about colour? I mean, we're sitting on this beautiful sort of deep pumpkin orange, which is so my colour. I mean, you can tell what I'm wearing.
I know, we do like colour here, yeah.
What are there trends in colour? I mean, please tell me not everyone's buying sort of beige and grey. I mean, I know it's...
No,
sort of
it's funny
on.
Actually, because when I worked, you know, I've worked in textiles. And previously in textile businesses, every time there was a launch, everyone would be all over the colour. But then when you looked at the sales board, the colour was not selling. It was essentially all the creams. And when it comes to furniture, I think we're really lucky at George Smith because our clients really love colour. I mean, when you see the furniture that goes through our photography library, because every piece of furniture has a photo taken of it, it's very colour heavy. So, and I think in the UK, I think the clients, you know, we like colour here in the UK. You know, we're quite big with colour and we have fun with it. And certainly now more and more that there are different styles that are, you know, that are available to everybody. And I feel like nowadays there's something for everyone. You know, it's okay. We can love everything. We don't have to follow a style. I would say, whereas somewhere like in the States, I think they don't use colour quite as much and they'll much prefer buying neutrals. So I think, again, it can depend on the different countries as well.
So how do you decide what... Because presumably deciding on what colour you're going to make something for a showroom is also going to depend on
influence.
Influence people's minds as to what they buy.
It's true, yeah.
So, I mean, you've got two pieces in this gorgeous, rich pumpkin. I mean, would you do a bright yellow or are there some colour? Or do you look at the new Pantone, for example? We've got a magenta.
Viva magenta. Yeah, no, we do. I think what we try and do in the showroom is base ourselves on, you know, we like to create room sets.
Yeah.
This is, we're sitting on our signature range. This is our best-selling range. And I would say lends itself more to a traditional environment. And that can tend towards sort of richer, warmer colours. We then have other collections. So we do some designer collections. And the one that we did, for example, with Jean-Louis Dugnot is a very different style to this. It's got sort of much thinner proportions. It's got very clean lines, very detailed. And that's, we've just ordered a suite of that upstairs. And we've done that in much more pared back kind of navy blues and greys. And then we've put some pearl colours in there just to kind of show the different styles. So I think we try and think about who our clients are and what they would like to see. And then also sometimes offer some inspiration. But I think a yellow is quite a Marmite colour. So I think from a sales point of view, I wouldn't necessarily have a yellow sofa because I want that, you know, I'd want our displays to please as many people as possible and also help them imagine it in their homes, because we're here to support people's desires and help them sort of visualize what it's going to look like. But when you're choosing a sofa, I mean, it's a big lump of color in the room.
Yeah.
So I always sort of, you know, close my eyes and imagine the imaginary room. So you've got the curtains and then the wall color and then the rug and then the sofa. So it's sort of about balancing that out so that when you walk into a room, everything is balanced and your eye is not necessarily drawn immediately to one thing foregoing the other things, but that it all kind of has like a beautiful symphony. It also sort of works together. So we offer a lot of advice and we're all really into design. We all have histories and backgrounds in textiles, so we can support clients as much as possible to make those choices. And we also have, with our photography, a lot of images of pieces, which again can help you understand the colour.
So I know that you, was it last year you did a collaboration with interior designer Emma Sims-Hilditch?
Yes.
Who makes that decision? I mean, Emma, very, very well known for her sort of modern English country house aesthetic.
Yeah.
Do you all sort of get together and decide, or where does that kind of, or does Emma come to you? How does that work?
It really depends on the situation. In this case, we do a lot of work with Emma anyway on her projects, and it was a sort of meeting of minds, and it happened very organically. And Emma came to us with her sketches and with her ideas, and it was a fantastic opportunity because she was offering us something that we didn't have in the collection. And of course, the style works very well for a lot of our clients. And what's fantastic about Emma's design, as we see now all of the pieces coming through in all these different fabrics, it's a style that actually sits really beautifully in lots of different environments. It's a sort of a timeless style. So that was, yeah, that was just a kind of a collaboration that just happened organically. And, you know, Emma's very successful designer, but she also has a successful business with her husband. So I think, again, there's that sort of understanding of, you know, let's make some beautiful furniture and let's work together to make this a successful venture.
And did she go up to see the manufacturing in the workshop and that kind of thing?
So first we met at Emma's studio, and then she provided us with the drawings, her sketches essentially, and then we put the drawings to paper, we have a product development team, and they sort of develop the pieces with all the proportions, and then we all went up to the factory together and saw just the kind of the bare frames as they were, and then started to talk a little bit more about, you know, the fills and how padded it should be and what the proportions were.
And what about, am I right in thinking you run an apprenticeship scheme?
Yes, we do. Yeah, so that's something that's very important to us, because feeding into the master craftspeople team is something that's a challenge, I think, for everybody. So we set up an apprenticeship scheme to really attract as many young people as possible into our business so that we could train them up for the future and make sure that we continuously have the right level of skill and quality for our, you know, for our furniture.
And so what age would somebody come?
Is it 16? Yeah, 16, yeah. So, I mean, it depends. Obviously, they can come in later, but I mean, that would be a perfect starting point. And it's around about 3 to 4 years to then train and then come into the workforce. And we're really lucky to have, you know, master upholsterers that have been with us, you know, since the very beginning, that have like 20, 30 years experience. And they're continuously learning and continuously, you know, putting that knowledge back into how we make our furniture. And we have generations different of one family that have come into the business.
And I suppose we are actually all continuously looking back when it comes to furniture styles and furniture design, I suppose, because it was just done so brilliantly to start with. You know, when you think about the Howard style or something, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They are real classics, aren't they?
Yeah, they are classics. I mean, the Howard style is how this business started, because originally here, at, you know, we've always been in this location. It was originally, before the factory up in Newcastle, a business that dealt in Howard style sofas. I mean, that's what it was known for. And so that style, you know, has followed through. What we like to do is, you know, we're very rooted in our traditional way of making furniture, but we are continuously improving and changing the way that the insides are done to make sure that we're, you know, using the best technology, that we're investing in the right machinery, that we're not just sticking with the past because it's the past, but actually evolving certain elements of how we make our frames, for example, so that there are fewer joins, because with the advancements in technology, we can then make things slightly differently and make them stronger and make them longer lasting. So we enjoy a little bit of both, you know, moving with the times, investing in new ways of working, but then at the same time, retaining those traditional techniques that have not been replaced with anything better yet.
Yeah. One last thing. When you talk about undressing the furniture, when the furniture is built, you actually have the client's name on the frame.
Yes, we do. We have the client's name and the upholsterer's details as well.
Because, I love that.
Yeah, no, it is lovely. I mean, there's a lot that goes on beneath the fabric that nobody knows about. But it's very important that we have the same person who does the upholstery from the start all the way to the finish. So a piece of furniture will always be started and finished by the same person, which is really important. And so, yes, the client's name is on the frame with the order number, and then that upholsterer's details will also be embedded on the piece of furniture as well. So, yeah, there's a little bit of story behind each one, which I just think is lovely, that people wouldn't know about, I suppose.
Until 30 years, when your children are reupholstering it, and then they see your name now, I just think that's such a lovely kind of bit of history.
Yeah, no, it is.
And how long, for example, a sofa like this, what are we talking? to take time wise. If we ordered, if I ordered a sofa today, what is it, sort of 3 months?
So at the moment, just for a standard piece of furniture, it's around about 8 to 10 weeks. And that's really because we're incredibly busy. I mean, usually last year we were turning things around about 8 weeks. We do have some pieces that we could turn around for you in 4 weeks if you really wanted it.
When is it? Is there a sofa buying time or an armchair buying time?
Not really. No, I don't think so. There's always, people are always moving in and out of places or doing up their new houses. So there doesn't seem to be any peak times, but it does flow with the school holidays and how busy everybody is, which is just, you know, natural. And, you know, as soon as the school holidays are finished, sometimes there's a bit of a peak in interest because suddenly everyone's got their lives back in. And they're right, okay, I need to get back on this. My children are taken care of. So, yeah.
It's fascinating. Amanda, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's been really interesting.
Thank you for joining me today. You can hear more Houseguest on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment in the audio section, along with our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Edvasey and Charlotte Metcalf. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett.